Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Marketing Analytics Show, the podcast that helps you get better at marketing analytics. This podcast is brought to you by Supermetrics. Over 500,000 marketers use Supermetrics to move data from popular marketing platforms such as Facebook, Google Analytics, and HubSpot to their favorite analytics reporting and data warehouse tools, including Google Sheets, Excel, Google Data Studio, Google BigQuery, and more. Give Supermetrics a spin and start your 14-day free trial at supermetrics.com. I'm your host, Anna Shitko, and today our guest star is Deb Mukherjee, a head of marketing at Deloitte Chat. In this episode, you'll learn how to measure the success of your content marketing, how to estimate the impact of your content marketing activities on the company's ROI, and what attribution models marketers can use to measure content performance. I hope you'll enjoy this episode. Hey, Deb, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Anna, how is it going? Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Going great. And I'm super, super happy to have you here. Today, we have another super interesting topic for our marketers. And we're going to be talking about content marketing strategy, how to measure it, and the attribution model Deb uses to measure his content marketing performance. So my very first question to you, Deb, is, can you please briefly explain your content marketing strategy so that we understand which elements it consists of?
Sure thing. So I'll explain what we do at Deloitte Chat and what we've been doing for the past 8 months ever since the company started. So at the start, what we did was we found, like, it was a treasure trove, really. So we found a bunch of listicle-based keywords, right? So top 10 product bundles, top 10 product optimizer, top 10 live chat softwares and all that. So what we did was we programmatically created 300 plus pages, and that is basically took us from zero to 20,000 top of the funnel of visitors today. Top of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, mixed. That is part one. So part two is we focused heavily on bottom of the funnel content because we needed to get as many signups as possible from the get-go to validate our product in the market. Because there were already a few established companies, not many, but they were quite established. They had like 5,000 plus customers. So we needed to find our space and our position. So we focused heavily on bottom of the funnel content. So that was our second pillar in the content strategy. And now what we're doing is we have started to write top of the funnel content. But at the same time, both number two, the pillar number two, which is Bofu content, and pillar number three, which is Tofu content, are extremely niche focused. So you might have seen, you know, companies like HubSpot or Optin Monster and all, they write about everything in content or marketing, even if that is not their niche, right? But we are extremely niche focused, which is e-commerce customer service. So everything revolves around that. That pretty much sums up our three pillars in the content strategy.
Great. And I love how you mentioned three pillars. So it's very, very clear which content goes to which pillar. Now, my next question would be, how would you measure the success of your content marketing now that you have these three pillars?
Right. Great question. So as you know, measurement of content is pretty difficult, but we have figured out a way to measure the success of the content. But let me tell you first what we measure, right? So A, we measure the number of unique visitors that comes in every month, right? B, we measure the number of, previously we used to measure the number of demos because it was a scheduler demo CTA. Now we've just started to measure the number of Shopify app installs, right? So our CTA takes them to our Shopify app listing page from their installs, and back to that data is sent back to Google Analytics. So we are primarily measuring those two metrics, and there are like several other secondary metrics that we can get into if you want.
Yeah, sure. That sounds super interesting. So now you mentioned that you have a number of demos or now Shopify app installs and the data coming from Google Analytics. So can you please expand on the metrics part and also mention which attribution model you're using to measure these results and how would you combine these data all together?
Right. So in terms of what other metrics we measure, we also measure the number of newsletter subscribers that come through content. So that's typically reserved for the top of the funnel content, because most people don't want to sign up for an app right off the bat. They just want to understand what the space is about, or customer service for that matter. So That is another metric that we measure. Those are secondary metrics. I mean, in terms of importance, they are secondary for us. We also measure earlier we used to measure the lead quality. Basically, we used to take all the demos and we used to see, okay, whether this lead is a qualified lead to go to the next stage, which is a demo, right? We would just peruse through their website and all that stuff and then figure out whether that's a good customer for us. And so that is around the metrics. But next thing is that the attribution model, right? Now, I've worked with like at least with over 20 SaaS companies in full-time and freelance as well. 90% of them use the last touch attribution model or last click attribution model in Google Analytics. Problem with that is that's a very low count model in the sense, if somebody signs up, they have just, you know, look through a landing page or a case study or one bottom of the funnel content and they just signed up. But it is very much possible that previously they have seen top of the funnel, like, you know, 12 customer service tips that can help you, expand your customer experience journey or something like that for your e-commerce store, right? They might have seen that. So technically speaking, the attribution should come from there. That's where your brand was discovered in the first place. So what we do is we use first click attribution model where the moment you visit our website or any website using this model, Google Analytics will drop a cookie and they will remember it for as long days as you want. So it can be 90 days, 120 days rolling period. We prefer to do it for 180 days, so 6 months, right? And we can see the results. So later, when they convert through a different landing page or any or a case study or the homepage for that matter, we would know that, okay, this particular blog about customer service tips was responsible for this sign up. And that's a more accurate measurement of content marketing as opposed to last click attribution. And this can entirely be done on Google Analytics with custom report and goal setting.
I love this explanation. And now, if you could please tell me more about the reports. You mentioned different metrics and why you chose the attribution model, but do you just check the data in, you know, the tools themselves, or do you pull all the data to, you know, a centralized report? How do you structure your reporting?
So in terms of reporting, the attribution, we completely check it through Google Analytics because it's quite simple once you set it up. So signups, unique users, first touch attribution, how many signups we are getting through that first touch model, all of them. And we also compare to the last touch. So there's quite a significant difference, which is why we understand that first touch is better, right? And we also go to Google search queries. So Google Search Console, we just go and look at search queries to discover new keywords that we might not be aware of, like some of our pages are ranking, but they're on maybe on the sixth or seventh page. So we can take that query, write a blog post and rank on it on the first page easily. We have a pretty high domain authority. So and the competition in our niche is like, it's decently high, but there's still a fighting chance right now. So we do that as well.
So yeah, Deb, and also another question would be, what kind of examples of well-working articles that bring leads you could provide, and maybe you could elaborate on why these articles were good in terms of bringing the new leads?
Right, perfect. So we are very focused on the niche and we write a lot of BOFU content, right? So bottom of the funnel content. Now, a set of those contents is called alternatives, right? So for example, we have listed around 15 competitors, right? So some of them are primary, some of them are tertiary. So I had the idea of like, why not create alternatives to all of them? So for example, Gorgeous is one of our alternatives, right? So it is pretty much the market leader right now. So what we did was we wrote an article called Gorgeous Alternatives, six Gorgeous Alternatives. Now, technically speaking, some would argue that we are promoting our competitor. But here's the catch, right? Among the six alternatives, Delight Chat is one of them, and Delight Chat is on number three. Now, the structure of the article is such that each of the alternatives is explained, they are giving a brief, and then there are pros and cons explained. So if you choose this, these are the pros and these are the cons that you would face with your e-commerce store. We were very objective about it. Like, we actually did the research. So we went to each tool, we signed up, we checked out their interface, we checked out their Shopify reviews, we checked out their G2 reviews, we checked out their case studies. It was very intensive research. Only after then we started writing. But if you read the article, it's very simple. But there's like a hell lot of research that has gone behind it. Now, when the article was produced, it was just like, okay, five pros, five cons for every other competitor, every other alternative to Gorgeous, right? Here's the thing. If you search for Gorgeous alternative, that article ranks before Gorgeous website. So DelightChat is ranking even before Gorgeous. Like, Gorgeous also has a page on their alternatives, right? So that is number one ranking for it across the globe, not even in one geography. And since people, like our customers, they actually, like, they know the name Gorgeous. Like, they're very aware of it. Since those people are already searching for Gorgeous, and they search for Gorgeous alternatives, Gorgeous competitors, and all these keywords, we are ranking for all of them. And all of them just read through the article and they see DelightChat. Okay, that's a viable option. They might be trying out other competitors, good for them, but they're also trying out DelightChat, right? So it's a win-win for us either way you look at it. And I think that's pretty much one of the best performing articles till date. And we are improving it even further to make it more, I would say, to increase the conversion rate of that article.
All right, it sounds like an excellent example. Another question I was really interested to ask was about the ROI of your content marketing. So you have previously briefly mentioned how you measure your ROI efforts, but maybe you could elaborate on this topic a bit more. So what are the conclusions you make after you analyze the data you have in GA? And for example, if you decide to modify your content strategy accordingly, then how would you do it?
Interesting question. So in terms of ROI, it's a very broad measure, but it's fairly simple for us because in terms of marketing, we just do content. We don't do anything else, right? So whatever comes, like whatever leads or whatever conversions happen, whatever revenue is coming, it is very easily attributable to content, even if we don't measure it, right? But in terms of strategy guidance from the report, right? So what we do is that we see which pages, for example, which blog posts are bringing in a lot of signups for, right? And which blog posts are bringing in a lot of traffic, but not signups. So it is clearly differentiable, right? One is bringing signups, the other is bringing traffic. So you basically create a strategy as to how to optimize that further. So for example, the articles that are bringing in, or the pages that are bringing in a lot of traffic, but barely any signups, they can be easily, like, people are considering it as a top of the funnel topic, right? So there we can optimize our CTAs for sign up for the newsletter or download this cheat sheet or go for this webinar or talk to an expert, talk to industry experts in this conference, right? But in terms of the Bofu content, right? So the ones that are already bringing signups, we optimize the CTAs like that. So sign up for the free trial, or check out our pricing, or talk to a live support agent, or get on a demo. So the entire strategy, like, it's very simple, right? Google Analytics will tell you exactly how to optimize it. Now, then there are pages which are basically both, right? So they're bringing a decent amount of traffic as well as they're contributing some signups. So how do you do that? Like, what do you do with them? Currently, we just let them be basic because there's not much to do with it. But there's one thing that we are going to try out is we capture the interest from there through email basically, and then we will put them on an email nurture program and see whether they convert or not. And once that experiment is conducted with UTM parameters, of course, so that we can measure it in Google Analytics. Then we will decide whether to push, like, change that article completely or just keep it as is, because there's this phrase that don't fix what's broken, right? So don't fix what's not broken. Sorry. I guess that kind of sums up how we measure the content performance.
All right, awesome. I really like the part where you mentioned that if you have a tofu content, then you try to focus on a more top of the funnel CDA. And if you have more bottom of the funnel CDA, you modify the content accordingly. And another question that just popped in my head, that you also talked about email marketing and that in some cases you basically direct the leads there. So my question to you would be, now that you have some piece of content and then you have a newsletter sign up, you direct the traffic there, what kind of content do you have in that email? So how do you nurture these leads and what happens to them later in the funnel? So what kind of metrics do you pay attention to when you want to see how your leads are nurtured through that email?
Right. So it's still in the early phases. I'm happy to come back on this podcast and tell you what the results are. But right now, what we're doing is that we are telling them exactly what they can expect, right? So you know, we don't say that, hey, once a month we'll be sending you something, something, right? We just tell them that, hey, you know, for the next few days, you'll be receiving tips and tricks on customers improving your customer service and overall experience for your e-commerce store, right? So what we do is we would pick one portion of the customer service, maybe, you know, a software buying guide or, you know, how to increase your first response time, right? So we'll pick one topic, we will write that entire thing, and then we will send it to them. Now, what is the CTA in those emails? CTA is what we are just, again, testing this out, but the CTA is get on a call with us to answer your questions. We are not telling them that, hey, you know, do a demo for Delight Chat. We are not doing that. What we are telling them is get on a call, answer the, you know, if you have any questions, we are happy to let you know. We are actually like, we might be taking those calls as well. Somebody wants to check out Delight Chat after that, if they're excited for it, then we'll show them a demo as well. So this is something nobody, I don't know anybody who has done it, but we are just testing this out. So let's see.
Yeah, it would be awesome to hear how it turns out. So thanks for sharing. I definitely do support the idea of, you know, having someone with a kind of maybe a more supportive message and just saying to a customer, hey, if you're here, you know, we can help, get on a call with us. Super interesting. Thank you, Deb. And now if the listeners want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Totally. So you can check out delightchat.io. You can see my content there. But I also write my articles on my personal blog, which is debgotwired.com. So debgotwired.com. Yeah, so you can also check out my content marketing podcast. It's purely on SaaS. And I have hosted the likes of Brendan Hufford from Directive Consulting, Hiva Amin from Soapbox, which is now HyperContext, Vanessa Perplees, content leader Lucia, Pinia Virtanen, content marketing manager of Supermetrics, which is you folks. And, you know, today I just launched a podcast with Corey Haynes, the founder of Swipefile. So a lot of good stuff there, very ROI focused, very case study focused. So you can just listen to it and let me know what you think. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm extremely active on Twitter. So it is the same CTA, same handle. It's @debgotwired. It's the same thing. The website and the Twitter handle. You can find me there.
Awesome, Deb. Thank you so much for coming in the show today.
Hey, it was really a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's the end of today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Before you go, make sure to hit the subscribe button and leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. If you'd like to kickstart your marketing analytics, check out the 14-day free trial at supermetrics.com. See you in the next episode of the Marketing Analytics Show.